Sing them over.
As he was about to face Goliath, David said, "The battle is the Lord's." He had full faith in God's power and not in his own abilities. Another man named David, Brother David Johnson, our speaker, will use 1 Samuel 17:40-47 to share the events of this story in today's sermon. Words of Life is sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen. We now worship our Lord with song.
Yeah.
Prayer is a blessed privilege. Please bow with me. Lord, we praise your name and magnify you. We are especially grateful for the salvation through Jesus. Please bless our listeners, especially be with those who are facing opposition from Satan. There are many works of faith depending on your blessings. Please be with each one of them. According to your word, Jesus is going to come back for his bride, the church. Please help us to be ready for him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present The Battle is the Lord's.
It's good to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is The Battle is the Lord's. And our primary text is taken from the Old Testament in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verses 40 through 47, which we'll get to in the body of our lesson. Outward appearances can sometimes be rather important. For example, there is an American Civil War story, or legend, that tells of a disorientated soldier who put on a Confederate gray coat and a Union blue trousers. From his appearance, it was impossible to tell which side he was on. Was he for the South, who wore gray uniforms? Or was he for the North, who wore blue uniforms? So when this gray and blue soldier went into battle, he got shot at from both sides. The Union soldiers shot him in his gray coat, and the Confederates shot him, well, in the seat of his pants. That's the stuff legends are made of. Reminds me years ago, here in Sellersburg, Indiana, of how much outward appearances matter to many people. I myself had hurriedly dressed to go to Dairy Queen, fast food place in the United States, for a goodie, and was wearing a Purdue University t-shirt and an Indiana University cap. Somebody came up to me and said, "Boy, you're really messed up." Outward appearances can be, well, confusing. More about this later. In our text, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 40 through 47, we have descriptions of a true story of two very opposite-looking combatants, Goliath and David. Even today, people who want to characterize a most unlikely outcome, by outward appearances, that is, whereby a huge underdog wins, it's another so-called David and Goliath story. Surely all of us here today know how David won his battle. Those who are Christians know the story. But before the slingshot, how many remember and understand the shouted words shot back and forth by the combatants? Well, we'll be looking into that in this lesson. So let's get started. David chose his familiar weapons. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch, in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand approached the Philistine. Remember, this was not just a battle between two persons. It also was a battle royal between two armies, the Israelites versus the Philistines. Furthermore, it was a battle between the true God of Israel versus the false gods of Philistia. In David's day, a simple slingshot was a common instrument of warfare, not just used by shepherds. Consider this revealed in the book of Judges, chapter 20 and verse 16, which says, "Among all these soldiers, there were 700 chosen men who were left-handed, each of whom could sling a stone at a hair, H-A-I-R, and not miss." David surely was expert in targeting his slingshot. After the bow and arrow, the slingshot was the weapon of choice for long-range combat. Nevertheless, the slingshot, was not David's primary weapon against the enemy. It was his faith in the Lord, the God of Israel. Consider 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 37. The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Verse 41. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. So Goliath had a soldier carrying a shield for added protection. David had the Lord for his supreme protection. Verse 42. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy or red-cheeked, as the Living Bible paraphrase puts it, and handsome, and he despised him. Why did Goliath despise David? He was infuriated that Israel sent out a boy, a mere boy, for a man's fight. So Goliath hurled his despising insults and curses down on David. Verses 43 through 44. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Goliath also despised David's shepherd's staff as a stick. Winning a battle against such a poorly armed opponent would not be much of an impressive victory. So Goliath despised David. Goliath also cursed David by his gods. Remember the predictive words of the Lord in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, which says, "I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." The words of the Lord God. Therefore, by Goliath cursing David, this son or descendant of Abraham, Goliath brought down the Lord's curse on himself. Goliath then boasted, bragged, that he would kill David and humiliate, desecrate his corpse, thereby deny him an honorable burial. Ironically, by Goliath sarcastically referring to himself, "Am I a dog?" actually foreshadowed the outcome. Because a wild dog can be a threat to a shepherd's flock, which must be chased away or killed, as was to be the case for Goliath. Such insults and curses were usual happenings in ancient Near Eastern warfare. They were designed to demoralize and intimidate the opponent. David was not disturbed in the least by Goliath's insults, curses, nor boastings. David then launched his own verbal counterattack. Notice that David's words had a fundamental difference. The focus was on the Lord, not himself, not on Goliath. David was not alone. He completely trusted in his Lord for victory. Verses 45 through 47. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by a sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Let's unpack these words. David had no delusions about the weapons of his enemy. But David knew in advance by faith that his almighty sovereign God would carry the day. "I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." Goliath came only in his own name. Goliath had defied, insulted the one and only living God, the God of Israel. So David proclaimed to Goliath that he would not get away with that. It is a serious matter to curse, to desecrate the name of the Lord at any time, whether in David's day or today. Note Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 16. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. The entire assembly must stone him, whether an alien or native born, when he blasphemes the name. He must be put to death. This was the law, Mosaic law, in David's day, in ancient Israel. So David single-handedly took, according to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 49, out a stone, he slung it, and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, thereby emphasizing the velocity, the force of the stone that killed the Philistine, as according to verse 50. David knew in advance, by faith, that the Lord would not only use him to win this battle over Goliath, but also that Israel would win the war against the Philistines. And this is revealed in verses 52 through 53. And that the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. That is, the one and only true Lord Almighty. The whole known world would know at that time, would hear of this tremendous victory of a mere boy, a shepherd boy, with a slingshot, with one small, smooth stone, defeated a giant with a sword and spear and javelin. David and Goliath is still today, over 3,000 years later, a tremendous epic story of an underdog defeating a giant. Application for you and me today. Yes, David was a skilled marksman with a sling, but his greatest weapon was his faith in God. David had grown strong in his faith when he had safely defeated a lion and a bear. When we today are facing fierce enemies, we also need to recall how God has helped us through whatever struggles we had to deal with in the past. We also need to trust God, live by faith, not by sight, because outward appearances can hinder us, can confuse us. Faith is our greatest weapon. Faith in God, the God of not just Israel, but the God of all nations, the one true God. Faith in God is our greatest weapon today also. So we, as people of faith, need to ultimately, nevertheless, accept whatever God wills and strive to be, as David, a person after the Lord's own heart, whatever the outcome, whatever the battle, whatever the giant that we are facing. The colossal, menacing giants in people's lives is not what we may be facing today, but they will come. We all have giants that we must slay or try to slay that attack us in this life. Yet, the absolutely worst menace is that which has already been defeated at Golgotha, the giants of sin, death, and separation from God, because Jesus Christ totally absorbed the wrath of God in mankind's place as our substitute. Thereby, believers can have confidence in the face of every other menace, of every other giant. Never forget, even death was conquered at the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 through 57. Perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful truths, wonderful words that can encourage and comfort us today. This at Golgotha was the battle of the ages, and it was the Lord's, and it's already won. And so I ask you, listener, whose side are you on? Are you with Christ, or are you without Christ? This you must decide. Do so today. Choose Jesus. Receive Him as your personal Savior and Lord, repenting of your sins, believing on Him, confessing Him as your personal Savior and Lord, in obedience being baptized into Christ and living for Him in a dying world.
We pray that you are already a Christian. If not, please understand that you need to first believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We also shown in God's Word that believers are to repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion in water. Please consider this decision today. Feel free to write to us with your questions and comments. To receive a free CD of this and next week's broadcast, ask for program 2339, 2339. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.